All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. There will be visitation Tuesday night, and the Soul Winners Club will begin on schedule Wednesday night, and there will be soul winning supper at 6:30 on Thursday night and visitation at 7. And I have asked Jim Boyer to do the Soul Winners Club on Wednesday nights until the Lord sends us a new soul winning director. And Jim takes over for Larry. Has taken over for Larry in the past when Larry was gone, and no one knows the program any better than Jim. I guess Larry probably did, but nobody else did, and nobody else does. And so Jimmy is going to take it over until the Lord sends us someone to take that position. And I want you folks to make it a matter of daily prayer that the Lord will work in someone's heart. This is a huge, huge job, and it's going to take the man of God's choosing. And you pray that I will know who that man is, and that he will know who he is, and that we can get him here as quickly as we possibly can. Until that man is chosen, there are plenty of folks that can help us here. With Jimmy helping with visitation, and then the Sunday school class, the Conquerors class. I've already spoken to a couple of men who have agreed to step in and help teach in the class, and so we're just trusting in the Lord day by day, and the Lord will provide. So I give you, the church, full assurance that we will work hard to keep everything up and running. Nothing's going to change. Church the open door is church the open door, and if we have to work around a couple things, we'll do that. But it's not about the men here; it's about the Lord. And so there's lots of men here that can talk about the Lord. So that's what we'll do until God sends us the person that is to be our new soul winning director. All right? I love you, church. Man, I tell you, I'm so proud of you guys. I really am. I just amazed at what you did this last week, and praise God for it. All right. Well, let me show you something here tonight. I don't know how much of a sermon this is, but I normally spend a lot more time on sermons than what I did on this one. But it's a neat little thought, and I trust it'll bless you. Look at Matthew 14, and let's begin reading in verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. All right, now remember that you had the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in the first part of this chapter. But now look at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." All right, now let that hit you, what he did. He constrained them to get into a ship and to go before him unto the, say it, other side. All right, so you kind of get the idea. Jesus told them to get in the ship and go to the other side of the sea, but he didn't go with them, right? Okay, now watch. While he sent the multitudes away. Now that's the multitudes, the 5,000 plus that were there where he performed the miracle. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Wow. Now think about that. Any ever try to walk on water? The closest I ever got was when Larry and I were fishing one time and a snake come crawling towards me. I saw that snake coming. I almost walked on water. It was almost me and the Apostle Peter, I can tell you that. I thought Larry was going to laugh his head off at that. Wow, he walked on the water. That's amazing, isn't it? But now look at that last part. It says to go to Jesus. Don't miss that. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." All right, let's pray together. And I want to speak to you tonight on getting in, but wanting out. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the blessings of the day. And Lord, to a troubled church, you have given grace. Lord, this music that we've heard tonight and this morning and the fellowship that we enjoy. And Lord, that in the midst of the storm, we can see Jesus is just a blessing. And Lord, our hearts are heavy, but we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the promises in the Scripture. Now, Lord, as we look at this passage tonight, I pray you will help us to see how to handle life when we get in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we have the command to press on. We have the admonition from you to be faithful. But Lord, when we get out on the sea, sometimes the winds get a little boisterous. Sometimes we find ourselves in the storm. And Lord, fear can overtake our hearts. But it's awful good to lift up our eyes and see our Savior is there and bidding us to come. So Lord, help us tonight to see how we can come to Christ. And Lord, even though we carry heavy hearts, we can bring our burdens to you. And you'll give us strength. You'll give us the ability to do that which is seemingly impossible to do. Lord, bless now tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The people that research these things tell us that our Lord performed about 35 miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. Now, we know that he did a whole lot more than that because John tells us that if all the things that he did And all the things that he said were recorded. There will not be volumes enough to contain it. But there are enough of the miraculous things that he did that are recorded to make the point that God's Holy Spirit wanted us to know in the Gospels. And that point is that Jesus Christ was indeed of a truth, verse 33, the Son of God. Many of his greatest miracles were done when our Lord was in and around the area of the Sea of Galilee. Every time we go to Galilee, I thoroughly enjoy Jerusalem. I love Jerusalem. But there's just something about the Sea of Galilee that has always had a pull and a tug at my heart. I love the Sea of Galilee, beautiful area. And I just love it in that part of Israel. Now, in this chapter, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 had just taken place. And as you can imagine, the whole region was just all abuzz. I mean, everyone was talking about what the Lord did. Nobody had ever seen such a thing in their whole lives. They'd never seen anything like this. When the disciples told the Lord that the multitude that had gathered to hear him speak were hungry, their solution was to simply send them away. Just send them away. But they knew, they did not know, they didn't know how they were going to feed that crowd. They knew that they did not have the resources to feed such a mob of people as what had gathered. But what they failed to consider was who was in their midst. They failed to consider the fact that the Lord Jesus was there. For what was an impossibility for them was nothing at all for the Lord Jesus to handle. And the Lord Jesus took a little lunch from a boy and he blessed it and he turned around and fed that entire multitude of people and had plenty to spare. Now, that brings us to where we began reading tonight. The disciples, it seems, wanted to stay and celebrate the miracle. But verse 22 tells us that Jesus constrained them to get into a boat and to go ahead of him to the other side. Now notice that this was the will of God for the disciples. The Master himself, the Lord Jesus himself, said to the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, sure, it would have been fun to stay with the Lord and celebrate with all the people. I mean, it's always good to rejoice when something wonderful has happened. It would have been good for the disciples, I'm sure. They thought in their own minds it would have been good to stay with Jesus and maybe to go up on the mountain with him and pray and relive the day. It would have been good to rejoice in what had just happened. But the Lord said, no, I need you in the boat and I need you to go over on the other side. Now, please let that sink into you. I need you in the boat, and I need you to go over on the other side. Now, the amazing thing is, when they got out into the Sea of Galilee, doing the will of God, remember, suddenly a great storm came up. As I was thinking about the storms that are found in the Bible, it occurred to me that there are two kinds of storms that you can identify in the Scripture. First, there are the storms of correction. And a good illustration of this is Jonah. These are the storms that God sends into our lives to discipline us, to correct us when we get out of the will of God. A second picture of this, or one of these character in the Bible who experienced one this first storm is Jonah. He had one of these storms hunt him down one night out in the middle of the Mediterranean. You remember that? Ended up in Whale University. Graduated magna cum laude. Oh, he learned a lesson down there, didn't he? And you know, sometimes God will send the storm in our lives to chasten us and correct us when we refuse to do the will of God. But then I think there's a second kind of storm that's found in Scripture, and that's the kind of storm that we're dealing with here in our text. The second type of storm is what I'm going to call the storm of perfection. This is the storm God puts us through to help us grow and learn in the Christian life. Now remember, Jesus said, get in the boat and go over to the other side and I will meet you there. And notice that they were obediently doing what the Lord Jesus had told them to do. But yet, while being obedient, a huge storm came up and they all thought they were going to perish. But this storm, folks, realize, this storm was all a part of the learning process. They would one day, after Christ had gone back to heaven, and they were left all alone, they were one day going to have to face some even scarier storms than what this storm was out on the Sea of Galilee. And they would need to have the lesson that they were about to be taught hidden away in their hearts, so that when those future storms came, they would be prepared. So this was all a part of the growth process. This was all a part of learning Christ. Now, here's my thought. The disciples were forced to get into a boat, not of their own choosing. And yet, now that they're in it, they want out. But it's storming outside. When that storm came, there was no getting out of the boat. They were stuck. It's either ride it out or sink. It's either ride it out or sink. And sometimes, even in the will of God, we are forced into the boat. And while we are trying to do what God asked us to do, nonetheless, the storm comes upon us with a vengeance. Now, there are three things that I want you to consider as we look at this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want us to think about the storm itself that comes into our lives. Think about the storms that come into our lives. You see, folks, sometimes the Lord will allow the storm so that we will learn some things that we would not learn through any other source. Man, none of us likes to go through the storm. I know I don't. I'd like for it just to be smooth sailing every day of my life. Wouldn't you like it to be 72 degrees every day, sunshine? I never have to go to the doctor, never have an ache or a pain, never have a disappointment. But we need to realize that sometimes the Lord asks us to get in the boat and tells us to go over on the other side. And the storm comes upon us so that we will have the opportunity to learn some things that we would not learn through any other source. Unless we had the storm to face, we would never learn the lessons. Now, here is something to think about. Sometimes God's purposes might be unknown to you. These guys didn't know why he wanted them in the boat. He just told them to get in the boat. He didn't explain it to them. He just said, go get in the boat and go over on the other side. Can you hear the conversation as they're all being obedient, but yet walking towards the boat? One of them looks at the other and says, what's he want us to go over there for? Why isn't he coming with us? You know, typical church member. You know, gotta question everything. Well, why is he doing that? Well, why did he do that? Well, what's he thinking there? But nonetheless, they were obedient. Sometimes God's purposes might be unknown to you. I don't know for sure, but I imagine the disciples were wondering, what's the Lord up to here? They probably got into the boat wondering, what in the world is his purpose? I don't get this. But folks, don't miss this important fact. While they did not know his purpose, he knew his purpose. Isn't that true? You see, I don't have to know everything that God purposes for my life as long as I've got confidence that he knows what his purpose is for my life. He knew exactly what he wanted to do with these disciples. He knew the lesson that he was going to teach them, and he knew exactly how he was going to teach them. Now, what did he tell them to do? Go over to the other side. Folks, I submit to you that when our Lord gave that order, even when the storm came up, he was in perfect control of the situation. Jesus did not send them into the storm to take them under, but he sent them into the storm to take them over.
Yes, amen.
Do you get that? And I think we ought to realize that the storm we are facing right now as a church is not to take us under, but instead is to take us over. God does not take us through the deep water to drown us. He takes us through the deep water to teach us how to swim. And we cannot sit here tonight and think that God has anything in mind for us other than to take us through the storm where we are able to see his hand leading us over to the other side. But wait a second, there's something else the disciples failed to realize, and that's this. Sometimes God's prayers might not be heard by us. God's wishes, God's wants may not be heard by us. You see, in verse 23, they got into the ship and started across the Sea of Galilee, and they did not know that the Lord Jesus was up on the mountain praying for them. He went up there to pray for them. They had no idea Jesus was fully aware of all that they were facing in the storm. They had no idea that he knew what they were going through. As far as they're concerned, they didn't even know where he was. They didn't know anything about where he was. But the amazing thing is, the Lord knew exactly where they were. You ever find yourself looking around saying, wow, where'd God go? Where's the Lord? Oh, you may wonder where he is, but I guarantee you he knows exactly where you are. They had no idea that he knew what they were going through. You know, I think sometimes we think our storm is a surprise to God. God is never taken by surprise. And folks, if the Lord tells you to get in the boat, get in the boat. And just trust the Lord. If the storm comes up, God will get you through it. What God is doing and what it appears God is doing are not always the same thing. And if you have been put into a boat that you don't want to be in, you're just going to have to stay in it and trust God until the storm passes by. But God knows where you're at. Now that leads me to a second thought. I said, first of all, that the storm, we're talking about the storms that come into our lives. But secondly, think about the Savior is our Lord. The Savior is our Lord. I mean, it's sometimes hard to see when you're in the midst of a raging storm. But notice in the text, we see two wonderful things about our Savior. First of all, we see the supreme power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. I wish you'd just pin that, just write that down and go home and read it and think about it tonight. There's a wonderful verse, Hebrews 2 and verse 8. And here's what it says. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God Almighty, the supreme, the eternal, the omnipotent, the authoritative God of heaven has put all things under Christ's feet. Do you remember in John 2? Jesus took water and turned it into wine. Look at verse 25 of this text. And you will notice in verse 25, here is Jesus walking on the water. You see, he can turn water into wine for drinking, or he can turn it into a highway for walking. You know why? Because he has all things under his feet. He's God. He's the Lord of all. Let that sink into you, Christian. Every problem that you and I have, every storm is already under his feet. Here we are flailing around, scratching around. Here we are just going to pieces. And the storm that we're facing is already under his feet. That's just wasted energy on our part. Every problem you and I have, every storm is already under his feet. First, we see his supreme power. But then, secondly, I want you to look at his sympathizing heart. In verse 26, he came walking on the water, and they did not recognize him. They got scared out of their wits when they saw him. They said, it's a spirit. Now, why did they not recognize Jesus? They didn't recognize him because they weren't looking for him. They weren't looking for him. You see, they're just like us. They're too busy looking at the storm. They're too busy looking at the storm. Same way we are. When we are in a storm that God knows all about, we panic and we fail to realize that the Lord knows exactly what we're facing. What we need to do in the storm is start looking for Jesus to come walking up. Are you looking for him, Christian? Are you looking for him? You see, what they thought was the worst thing that could happen turned out to be the best thing that could have ever happened to them. For in verse 27, Jesus said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. That's the best thing that could have happened. Can you sense the Lord's sympathetic heart reaching out to these men? But let me ask you, can you feel the Lord's sympathetic heart reaching out to you tonight? In the midst of all the hurt and the pain and the emptiness, can you not now hear the sympathizing heart of the Savior calling out to your heart and whispering in your ear saying, hey, hey, be of good cheer. It is I. It's going to be all right. I'm here. That's what God's saying to us. That's what God's saying to us. But then number three, watch how this unfolds. I said, first of all, that the storm, we're looking at the storms that come into our lives. Secondly, the Savior is our Lord. Number three, the saint is our lesson. The saint, yeah, we call him Saint Peter. By the way, it's Saint Rick over here. And that's Saint Todd. We got two Saint Todds over here. You know, it seems like the Lord Jesus always had the Apostle Peter at the heart of about every situation to be the one he used to teach the lesson. You see, I wonder why that was, because Peter's so much like all the rest of us. You know, he just like us, impulsive, expectant, rash, quick-tempered, gung-ho, a coward. I mean, just all of us wrapped up into one person. And it seems like the Lord always had Peter at the heart of about every situation to be the one that he used to teach the lesson. And that's exactly what happened in this story. They were all there. They were all in the boat. But the saint is our lesson. Peter's our lesson. First of all, I want you to notice that Peter's desire is inspiring. Peter's desire is inspiring. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Peter inspires us on what to do when you're in the midst of the storm. You see, when you have been made to get into the boat that you didn't want to get in, and then you find yourself in a storm, the best thing you can do in that storm is get close to Jesus. And look at what happened here. Straightway, verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee in the water, on the water. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The Lord used the Apostle Peter, who is just like all the rest of us, to teach this lesson. Hey, when you're in the midst of the storm, the safest place you can be is with the Lord Jesus. John didn't say, Lord, can I come to where you are? It was not Matthew. It was not James. No, it was Peter. Everybody gives Peter a hard time here, but I remind you, he was the only one that came out of the boat. None of the other guys went bounding over the edge of the boat, but Peter said, Lord, if that is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. In the midst of the storm, our desire should be that we want to get as close to Jesus as we can possibly get. Secondly, I want you to notice that Peter's defeat is illuminating. His desire is inspiring, but his defeat is illuminating. You know what happened. Peter got out of the boat, just like us. He got out of the boat. He was walking on the water. He was doing good. I figure all the rest of the guys were standing there going, I can't believe this. And man, he was doing good. And then he realized, wait a minute, I'm walking on water. And I don't know I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. But I can just about imagine he took five or six steps, realized he was walking on water, and then probably turned around to see if other guys were watching him. That's what we would have done, wasn't it? Hey, y'all see me? Y'all see me? You see what I'm doing? He took his eyes off Jesus. That's what the problem was. And when he did, he began to sink. And remember now, the waves are crashing. Man, it's bad. And there's Peter walking on the water. Maybe a wave jumped up and licked him across the face. And he looked down in fear. His faith turned into fear. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I know he took his eyes off the Lord. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he started to sink. But wait a minute. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know, you're going to get in that storm and sometimes you're going to feel like you're going under. But you got to cry out, Lord, save me. And notice this, the Lord Jesus reached out and took him by the hand and lifted him up. That presupposes that you've got to be close to the Lord if the Lord can reach out and grab a hold of you. You with me on that? You can't be, you know, 4 miles away from the Lord. You can't be out here doing your own thing on your own time, your own way, get in the storm and then turn around and say, Lord, help me. No, you got to be close to him where he can reach out and grab you. Fear sees God through our circumstances, but faith sees our circumstances through God. These men thought they were going to die, and fear caused them to see through the storm and see that Jesus was there. Thank God, he's always there. You know, at first they didn't understand, but the Lord helped them see clearly that he had it all under control. You say, but Pastor, Peter started to sink. He failed. Yes, he did. But he cried out to the right person. A defeat that leaves you humble is better than a victory that leaves you proud. We find ourselves today in a boat that we were ordered into by the Lord. None of us want to be in this boat. The storm is raging all around us. But brethren, let's not forget who is the master of the sea. Don't forget that. God has not put us in the storm to take us under. He has put us into this storm to take us through to the other side. There is victory. There will be sunshine again. I do not know what God has in mind through all this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so excited to see what's on the other side, I can't hardly stand it. I don't know. You say, what are we going to do next week? Well, next week I'll let you know. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We just take it a day at a time. I know one thing. I know that we must go on. And we will. Oh, yeah, we're in a storm. We're in a storm, but God did not put us in this storm to take us down. God put us in this storm so that we could be taken through. And I cannot wait to see what God's going to do. I'm excited about that. I want you to get excited about that and realize that our Lord can handle any storm that comes along. Getting in, but wanting out. And the only time you ought to want out, folks, is when you can step out and be right beside the Lord Jesus. You jump out of that ship when the storm's raging and the Lord's not there, you're in trouble. But you jump out when you see Jesus and everything will be all right. You got the master of the sea holding to your hand. Oh, folks, listen. We got to just trust in the Lord. That's what I plan to do. That's what we've all got to do. And God will take us over on the other side.